In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I'm thinking about Mother's Day. If my family, both my family of origin and my own family, is typical, mothers are known for two things. They worry and they are busy, which is not to say that fathers and people without children don't have plenty to worry about and more than enough to keep them busy too. We certainly all do. But I'll use mothers for illustrative purposes. Bathing, feeding, dressing, transporting them, cleaning up behind them. In the early years of parenthood, you do these things for your children, and later you make sure that they do them for themselves. And doesn't it sometimes seem that it was easier to do it for them than it was to trust to do things for themselves? There are lunches to pack and homework to help with and schedules to keep. The word mother tends to be a catch-all term for a person who is maid, cook, taxi driver, and personal assistant. Am I right? Then you worry about their health. Are they getting all their vaccines, or should they get no vaccines at all? You worry about your parenting skills. Am I too strict? Am I too lenient? And those are just some examples of things that you have a little bit of control over. Worse is what we can't control. At some point in your child's life, he or she is probably going to run into a bully who will take great pleasure in making his or her life painful. At some point, your child is going to run into a teacher or a coach or another adult, an authority figure, who for no good reason just doesn't like her, doesn't treat her fairly, won't give her a break. Sadly, as we have seen much too much lately, there are those who take advantage of children and abuse them, regardless of their gender or age. These are just some of the worries and stresses mothers and all parents face. They are similar issues, I suppose, in all professions and all relationships. Think about your coworkers. Think about your extended family, your cousins and your in-laws, and you young people. Think about the people you go to school with or hang out with. I'm almost certain that every one of those groups has a person who constantly one-ups you. Anything you did, they did something better. Whatever you know, they know more, or so they think. Any problem you have, they have the perfect solution. It may not sound like much, but people like that, constantly discounting your thoughts and emotions and experiences, can really wear you down emotionally and spiritually over time. But that's not the half of it. Among your family and friends and coworkers are probably people that are doing things that are immoral or illegal. They might ask you to look the other way. They might ask for your approval or ask you to enable them. Eventually, they might ask you to participate in their vice or their theft or whatever. Do we say, I'm not going to get involved? Or do we go along to get along? I'm thinking about scandals in sports and entertainment and national politics and churches. So often someone must have known that something wrong was going on, but they kept quiet. How hard it is for us to take a stand for what's right and fair. Sin, corruption, and mendacity are everywhere. That's the fallen world we live in. Jesus knew something about how bad our world was, and he came to earth anyway. He took all the knocks this world had to give. That's why he died. However, that wasn't the end. He rose again. He rose again, and after 40 days, as we heard, he ascended back into heaven. Now he sits at the right hand of God the Father. Jesus knows how bad our world is still. Although he ascended, we, his people, his church, are his body here on earth. Jesus suffers when his people suffer. He feels what we feel. He cares. We might ask, if Jesus loves us, and if life on this earth is such a colossal mess, why doesn't Jesus just take us out of this world? Why doesn't he just raise us up to heaven right now? Or give us some kind of special protection here from all the emotional and physical hurts of this life? Some world religions, and even some variations on Christianity, erroneously teach something like that. At the time the New Testament was written, there was a philosophy called Stoicism that was very popular. It said that the way to get rid of suffering was to get rid of your emotions. Just accept life as it is and feel nothing. Buddhism does something similar by saying that our goal in life should be to eliminate all of our desires. I guess there might be some logic in that. If you don't desire wealth, you wouldn't mind being poor. If we just went around emotionally numb all the time, we wouldn't know joy, but we wouldn't know sadness either. The movement called Christian Science, which is neither Christian nor scientific, takes this a step farther and says that all suffering is just an illusion. They say if you're in pain, it's because you're not thinking right. Your trouble is all in your head. It's all your imagination. Just get your head together and you'll be fine. Now, imagine you're laying in a hospital bed with a life-threatening illness. And I, your pastor, come to visit you and I say, you know, if you didn't want to be healthy, being sick would really be no big deal to you. So embrace your sickness. Learn to control your emotions. Keep a stiff upper lip and an even keel. Just take whatever life dishes out and don't worry about it. The sickness that you're feeling isn't really real at all. It's all in your mind. Of course, I would never say that. Not because it's insensitive, but because it's also not true. But what sense do we Christians make of suffering and everything else, good and bad, that goes on in this world? First of all, the world is real. It's not an illusion. A real Jesus came into a real world to really live and really die to save real people. Emotions and desires are not bad. Jesus wants us to desire a world without hunger or poverty or sickness. As Christians, we long to see justice and righteousness prevail. Jesus felt physical and emotional pain, and he also knew physical and emotional joy. When the deaf, the blind, and the lame came to him, he didn't say, "Stop wanting wellness and you'll be okay. Just think yourselves out of being sick." No, he empathized with them and he healed them. Mothers, would you trade away the joy of seeing your child learn and grow and achieve at the price of never having to tend them when they're sick? I doubt that you would. Hockey fans, would you give up the frustration you feel when the Sabres don't make the playoffs at the price of not celebrating that one great day when they win the Stanley Cup? No way. In this life, there will be ups and downs, victories and defeats. And someday Christ will come again, just as he left, and take us out of this world where it'll be all goodness and light. But for now, according to God's inscrutable providence, he leaves us here. Jesus wants us in this world to do a job. Our job is to proclaim him and tell the whole world about him so that they might be ready too when he comes again as we are. When do people want to hear about Christ? Usually only when they need to hear about Christ. When people are healthy and wealthy and satisfied, they feel like, nah, I don't need God. But when trouble comes, then they desire the comfort and the hope found in God's word. People used to say there are no atheists in foxholes. Well, that's still true. We don't wish calamities on anyone, but sometimes it takes a crisis situation for someone to open up their heart to the good news. So we Christians must be where people are hurting to bring them the blessings of the gospel. Living in a sin-infested world as we do, it's easy to get jaded and cynical and lose hope. It's tempting to give in to the seduction of sin. But Christ tells us that we are not to conform to this world. We are not to lose our focus on Him. We are not to lose our Christian morals. We are in the world, but we are not of the world. We are sojourners and strangers here. Heaven is our real home. Our life on this earth is just a tiny drop in the sea of eternity. Jesus won eternal salvation for us with His death and resurrection. There is a better life coming for us. But while we're here, we must participate in this world as it is, without forgetting why we are here to witness to Christ. So we work our jobs and practice responsible citizenship and strive for the good of others every way that God gives us opportunity. And we do that at a cost to ourselves. We expend ourselves. We use our time. We use our talents. We spend our resources serving God and serving others, just as Jesus taught us. We Christians not only live in the midst of the world's problems, we experience even more than others because we are constantly putting ourselves out for others. If we didn't do anything, we wouldn't have any problems. But because we care, because we show that caring by doing for others, it creates challenges for us. Think about the great heroes of our faith, Abraham, David, Moses, Paul, just to name a few. None of them had easy lives. They had family problems and health problems and all the same problems we have. I wouldn't say that all of them overcame their problems, but I would say that all of them endured. They learned from their failures. When the world knocked them down, they got back up. Even though their faith was tried and their lives were in danger, they looked to God and kept plugging on the best they could, and God's will got done. We can do that too by God's grace. Not everyone gets to be a superstar. Not everyone gets the world's accolades and attention. Mothers are notoriously underappreciated. But nothing you do for the sake of the gospel, nothing you do in Christ's name is ever wasted. All the things we do might seem like little jobs to us, but they really count big time. Not toward our salvation. Jesus wrapped all of that up for us, but a kind word, an invitation to church, a warm welcome. Those are the things that build up the church, that build up God's kingdom. I hope that everyone has a good memory of something that their mother or a mother-like figure said or did for them that helped make you the good person you are. Be that person for someone else today. Be the person who spoke and acted like Christ to them. That can change a life. That can change the world. Amen.